You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Friday the 21st of February. Ben Barrett in the presenter's chair, and I'm delighted to say that I've been joined out of the William Hill Racing Radio studio by Gareth Topham. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad, Ben. Nice to be in the warm.
Yes, quite. But it's been a couple of horrible days out on the circuit. Have you been anywhere this week doing your course commentating?
I went to the additional meeting at Musselburgh on
I bet that was
Tuesday, and that was
damp.
It was damp, it was cold, it was blustery. Obviously, we're right next to the sea at Musselburgh, so, yeah, it's the coldest I've been this year.
Coldest? It sounds delightful. I was recently at a football match in Harrogate where I couldn't feel my toes despite multiple layers of socks and whatnot. We're discussing a number of things today, including Friday and Saturday's races. Now, we're recording this sort of quite early on Friday. It's just gone 1:10 here. So I would normally ask if you've been in good form, but you've only had a couple of tough-looking races at Newcastle to choose from so far. Have we picked either winner on the radio in there today?
No, we had a 14-1 place in the latest race, so we're happy enough with
that. Good, that's a good solid start. Plenty more.
We're trying to get the favourites beaten. It's a bit of a theory that I certainly have anyway, that in these jumper bumper races, we don't see them every season. We only see them when there's this time of great national hunt drought, as it were. But obviously a few now have been scheduled, given that we've had very little on over the past few weeks. So yeah, that's the angle with those races today, is to try and get these favourites. But sadly, the favourite absolutely hacked up in the second.
Good start to the theory. Good start.
But it's early days. It can all change.
It is early days. Andrew Mount, I know, is another one to say it's fairly common to back some outsiders. And in those jumper bumper type races, and I saw him tweet a theory that if you'd backed them all to a £1 stake, you'd be well up long term by backing every single runner. There's just lots of favourites getting beat in that kind of race.
Yeah, obviously, they're quite messy races. They must be very hard to assess when the entries come in, and then obviously, you know, the declarations there, because the horses generally are going to be priced up on what they've been doing over jumps.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, 2 miles around Newcastle on the all weather, or Wolverhampton, or wherever it may be. It's a completely different kettle of fish, so it lends itself in a way to providing some sort of unexpected results, and therefore I tend to give the favourites a bit of a swerve.
There we go. Good thinking going forward for the rest of today's action and any future jumper bumper races. Right, let's do some news, I think. And this morning we found out that Kim, your favourite Glenlow, has been ruled out of the Cheltenham Festival. Handicap chases at the festival this far out are difficult enough things to pick around and work your way around, but losing what was essentially about a 5-1 favourite isn't going to make life any easier. It does mean that Le Broil is now 10-1 anti-post favourite with us at William Hill. And the headline here is that we are now paying 5 places on all handicap chases. So taking a fairly short price favourite out of a book like that means there's going to be some value somewhere. I'm not going to ask you to try and pick apart this race here, Gareth, but we've got 5 places on offer for all of our handicap chases between now and 48 hours prior to the race going live. So Le Broil is 10-1 favourite after Glenlow has been pulled out. Obviously, we're coming off a couple of days ago learning that Native River has suffered a slight injury as well, which is a huge shame. So it's unfortunate to see injuries to key horses at this stage, isn't it?
It is, but it does happen every season.
It does.
And there's always a couple of big names that are there 1 week and are not there the next. And Glenlow obviously is a little unfortunate. As far as this race goes, the Kim Muir and the other handicaps, obviously we don't know what's going to be turning up till much, much closer to the time. So trying to pull them apart and dissect them a bit at the moment, probably a little bit folly. For all that, we've got a fair idea of who's going where. I say fair. mildly.
Still some element of guesswork involved.
Absolutely. Obviously the Native River news earlier in the week, that was desperate because...
Yeah, so unfortunate.
You know, particularly after that performance at Newbury the other day where he looked to be, you know, right on song. And I think many people's idea of perhaps an each way fancy for the Gold Cup.
Yep.
And possibly thereafter a real Grand National hope.
Yes.
So the fact that all that's been sort of just wiped away, you know, in the space of a few days after is... is quite sad, really. And hopefully he'll be back. They rarely come back as good, but he's a very talented horse. It doesn't seem like it's, you know, it's the biggest injury he could have sustained.
No, Leona was saying on a podcast a couple of days ago with myself, actually, she said it's a real disappointing injury and it's a real unfortunate injury, but it's not the sort of injury that is career ending when you catch it and deal with it at this stage. So it's worth a short-term loss for a potential long-term gain. So
yes,
she was saying that it's a right that it's been caught, right that it's been acted upon, and whilst we may miss out this Cheltenham Festival, there's nothing to say that by the next one or the one after we're still in play, so to speak. So that's all that really matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the only thing that is a bit of a negative going forward is that the horse is beginning to creep up in
yes,
years as well.
Yeah.
But that said, his Grand National aspirations, if there are to be any in the future, and it would be lovely to see him in a Grand National one,
yeah,
because the way that the race is these days as well, he looks tailor-made for it. So if he does return from injury, and perhaps he's not good enough to win a Gold Cup in future seasons, then maybe the Grand National will become a very realistic target.
Good news, hopefully long term then, for Native River, and we hope the same applies to Glen Low as well. Just to wrap up, one other piece of news: Ollie Murphy's Itchy Feet is heading to the Marsh Novices Hurdle and has been inserted as 5-1 joint favourite alongside Alaho. We were thinking it could have been the Arkle for Itchy Feet, but it's going to be the Marsh Novices and a potential clash with Forheen. Right then, that is the news taken care of. Friday we can't really talk about because we're recording a little bit too early, so I think we probably should just crack on straight with Saturday's action. Tomorrow we are due racing from Kempton, Lingfield, Newcastle, Ferry House and Chelmsford. Unfortunately, we have already lost the Chepstow card. There were 7 races scheduled there, and just as a point of note, Newcastle will be inspecting at 8 a.m. tomorrow. That has now been confirmed. So all being well, we are going to get some reasonable racing, plenty of graded action at Kempton. We'll talk a couple of those in a moment. There's also the Winter Derby Stakes at Lingfield, scheduled to take place at 3:15. That's an all-weather championships fast track qualifier. And at Newcastle, inspection pending, we're also due the Ida Handicap Chase at 2:45. As a little bit of a bonus, I can tell you that Sean Quinn, part of the retail service here at William Hill today, has actually previewed both of those races, and I'll be bringing you those previews at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned for those. However, Gareth and I, we're going to talk Kempton tomorrow, and one of the two races that you've decided to actually chat about tomorrow is the Kingwell Hurdle. It's a grade 2 at 2:25. Now, before we get into the actual runners and riders, I wanted to ask you this question so you can educate me somewhat. This was scheduled to take place at Wincanton last weekend before. My weeks are all rolling into one, but unfortunately we lost that card. It's been rescheduled, which is great to get a race of this quality rescheduled so quickly, but here at Kempton rather than in the original situation of being at Wincanton. From a connections point of view, from a tactical point of view, conditions point of view and all the rest of it, how difficult is it for all involved to pick a race up from Wincanton, move it to Kempton? Will any connections be thinking, well, this is now not in our favour, or this is very much in our favour? Is there a big difference?
No, I think they've done well, actually, in managing to, A, get this race restaged. I think it was last Saturday, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, a week later, which, when you consider this race has got potential Cheltenham candidates,
yes,
it's essential that if it is going to be restaged, it's restaged as soon as.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, we're counting down the days. What is it, 3 weeks today to the Gold Cup?
Yeah, 18-something days ago, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously, quick restaging of the race is essential, and then ultimately it keeps the field very similar as well, because in the space of a week, I mean, a lot can go wrong in the space of a week, but with just a week's gap, it's likely that the horses that were okay to run last week will be fine to go again as quick as they can, and with regards to it changing venue, from Wincanton to Kempton, look, they're both right-handed, they're both sharp. They've both got a couple of flights in the home straight, similar sort of length of run. It's all very similar.
Yeah.
The only thing with Kempton is that they're going to be racing on better ground than what they would have at Wincanton.
Yeah,
had Wincanton been on last week, it'd have been bottomless, which might have suited one or two of these a little bit more than it will to others. But these are good hurdlers. They're grade 2 level. They're going to go generally on any ground that's thrown their way. And this is going to be, I think Kempton have almost stated, they're likely to have the word good in their going description tomorrow, which, you know, at the moment there's hardly anywhere racing on that sort of ground.
Very rare.
Yet everywhere is saturated. So the fact that Kempton can provide such good jumping ground, you know, amidst all this rain that we've had, is fantastic. And hopefully the best horses on the day will really shine. And we've got a good renewal of this. I have seen Stronger
yeah.
In the past, but it's a decent renewal. It's an open renewal, nice competitive affair for just a six horse race, and it's going to be a very interesting watch come 2:25.
Well, before we get your selection then, I'm going to run through those six that are going to post. Chitibello 9-4 market leader. Song for Someone is 5-2. Elgin is 7-2. 4-1 for Diego Ducharmil. Quick Grab Him is 16-1. And Zambella 20-1 outsider. Lots of number ones in the recent form of pretty much all the runners in concern, to be honest. So which one, which two, which a few would you like to mention as part of your preview?
Well, we'll go through them, each of them. I don't see
why not.
We've only got the six. How many? Chitabello's a bit of a regular in this race. He's been placed in it before, and he usually turns up in these sorts of races this time of year, small fields, sort of Cheltenham trials, if you like, and he usually performs with plenty of credit. So he's definitely a player. I think Quick Grab Him has got a little bit to find on form, and that's reflected in his price. Diego Ducharmil has been a good horse over the years. He's quite a versatile campaigner as well. He'll be expected for a top team of Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden. Elgin won this race a couple of years ago at its original home, Wincanton, but he's been off the track for a very long time, 711 days since he last raced over jumps. He did race on the flat more recently than that, but that was still
best part of 600 days. Yeah.
He's had a wind up, but it would take, I'm not saying he couldn't do it, he's quite a big stocky horse, Elgin. Gives me the impression he probably would just, I'll have a little look if his history shows that he does need a run to be seen at his very best effect. But from what I've seen of him in the past, you know, whether he'll be, if he's ready to go first time up here, you look at his previous form, he has just needed a run before he's really firing on all cylinders. I think it'd be a brilliant training performance from Alan King to get him to win this first time out off that absence tomorrow. But that said, he's a classy performer. Zambella down at the bottom. This is a, now she's a mare. I did see her in the flesh at Wetherby earlier on in the season as a four-year-old, so she was still a filly then. That was when chasing home Lady Buttons.
Okay.
But she unseated the rider at the second last flight, I think it was, when just beginning to feel the heat. I think she's going to have to improve somewhat, which brings me on to the one that I quite like, which is Song for Someone for trainer Tom Simmons, who's, you know, he wouldn't be the biggest name trainer in this field, that's for sure, but he has got some very talented horses, and this is one of them who ran a really good second behind the classy Thomas Darby at Ascot last time out. That was in handicap company. He was carrying plenty of weight on at that occasion, and I think back into this pattern grade and this smaller field, I think that's going to suit him really down to the ground. So Song for Someone, I think he's a very, very consistent horse. He's one of the highest rated in this lineup, and as I say, he was one of a few in this that were down to run at Wincanton last week, and if anything, conditions will probably suit him that bit better at Kempton on Saturday. So Song for Someone for me.
Song for Someone, 5-2 in the betting. Second favourite behind Chitabello. That's the 2:25 at Kempton. The Kingwell Hurdle Grade 2 that has been added as a bit of a bonus graded race at Kempton tomorrow. Was essentially meant to be taking place at Wincanton last week. Now, the other race we're going to talk about is again at Kempton. It's the 4:10 tomorrow. It's a handicap chase, and it is over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, class 3 race. Betting available on williamhill.com and on the app. 10 of them scheduled to go to post. Iblio is 2-1 favourite. Keep Wondering, 9-2. 5-1 for Favorito Bucks. 6-1 for Echechia. 7-1 for Mystical Clouds. It's also 7-1 for Temple Park. Then we have a bit of a jump in the betting for the final four. Debin and Ramanex are both 14-1. 25s for Ain't Tree My Dream. That's how you name a horse without any pressure, isn't it? And Commandment, 28-1 outsider. 2-1 warm enough favourite, but competitive in behind that, in terms of the odds at least. Where are we going for this one?
I think Iblio is quite solid up at the top of the market. market. I can see why Connections have pitched him in. Obviously, he's going to get a fairly substantial rise with regards to his handicap mark, given what he did yesterday. So Thursday, this would have been at Huntingdon, where he just annihilated the opposition. Now, he only had three against him, but, you know, among the three, there was a horse called Wenceslaus that was looking for a hat-trick of wins. Now, that bombed out completely. There was Fanzio, who's a good horse from the front, and he was just turned away. And Little Light, who ran a really good race to challenge that one for second on the running. But Iblio was just, you know, heavily eased on the flat, had the race in safekeeping from the home turn. And given that Venetia Williams is, you know, her horses are running well, she sent one all the way up to Musselburgh on Tuesday and it dotted up. So the stable are in good form at the moment. The horse handles any sort of cut that there may be in the ground. I think it's going to be better ground than what it was at Huntingdon on Thursday. The only sort of niggly doubt, if you like, is this horse is now stepping up in trip. His two wins of late have both come over shorter trips than this, but put it this way, he wasn't stopping at Huntingdon yesterday. And provided that he is, you know, over those exertions, he certainly didn't look to have a hard race. And this is a more competitive heat. Obviously, there's a, you know, bigger field and some pretty smart horses in against him here. He is the sort of horse, I think, who could rattle off a hat-trick of wins quite easily. So, I think Iblio will take the world of beating in that 4-10.
It would be a 22-day hat-trick as well, having won down at Wincanton on the 30th of January. Like you say, backed that up with a Huntingdon victory yesterday, Thursday, if you like, and is straight back into action on Saturday.
And again, we're going on about the tracks. You know, Huntingdon yesterday, right-handed, similar-ish to Kempton. Wincanton, we've already spoken about, similar-ish to Kempton. It's as if the team have just had in their mind, you know, can we get, you know, a few races back to back, similar sorts of venues with this horse, and so far he's delivered on every count.
And really has, and looks set fair to do it again tomorrow. 2-1 favourite Iblio at the 4-10 at Kempton. William Hill Racing Radio is live 10 minutes before the first race tomorrow on Saturday. Alistair Jones is in one of the pundit chairs, and we've got Ollie Pimlott in there as well, and I believe Andrew Mount is back as well tomorrow, which is great news. Please do join us for some of the best racing in the build-up to the Cheltenham Festival. Lots to look forward to. Gareth, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, "Open William Hill Racing Radio," and leave the rest to us.
A huge thanks to Gareth Topham for joining us on the Daily Racing Podcast today. Now then, as promised, we're going to bring you a couple of previews from Sean Quinn, who is part of our retail team today. To start with, you're going to hear from him on the Ida Handicap Chase, the 2:45 at Newcastle on Saturday. And following that, straight away, you'll hear about the Winter Derby Stakes, a Group 3 taking place at Lingfield.
Given the forecast heavy ground up at Newcastle, this year's Ida is sure to be a real slog. Therefore, it's likely to pay to stick with a horse that's got proven form on heavy ground. The horse that I've come down on in this year's contest is Almanar. He's a 7-year-old who's really improving fast for Nigel Hawke. He won well at Chepstow last time out in the first time blinkers. That was on heavy ground. And I think over an extended 4 miles, 1.5 furlongs, he's sure to take a little bit of beating at a price. Bangkok is sure to be all the rage for this year's Winter Derby. This horse was an emphatic winner here at Lingfield last time out in listed company. He was a very high-class horse last year as a 3-year-old, of course, finishing second behind Japan at Royal Ascot. Prior to that, he was deemed good enough to be sent off a single figure price for the Epsom Derby. He should be far too good for his rivals here. I expect him to win and win well. Do keep an eye out for the specials that we'll have on offer.
Those were Sean's thoughts on the big racing at Newcastle and Lingfield respectively. Now, of course, we also asked him about Kempton's card on Saturday. 5 races in total for him to look at. A 4 to follow across the card, and then he'll look at the Kingwell Hurdle individually.
We've got an excellent day of racing action this Saturday from Kempton here at William Hill. I've taken a look at four of the races on the card. The first of those is the Pendle Novices Chase, and I think Master Tommy Tucker can get back to winning ways in this contest. It's then on to the juvenile contest, the Adonis Hurdle, and Solo makes his British debut for Paul Nicholls. He should take plenty of beating in that contest. We then roll on to another novice contest, the Dovecot Novices Hurdle. Highway 102 is a horse I've been mightily impressed with this season. Hopefully he can go in again. And then on to the big handicap chase of the day. Semetagal is a horse that I think is very interesting for Paul Nicholls. He ran a good race here at Kempton at Christmas time and isn't too badly treated. It's great to see that the Kingwell Hurdle has been saved and rerouted to Kempton Park, and I think it looks a good opportunity for Chitabello to get back to winning ways. This race looks a little bit easier than the two that he's contested thus far this season, those being the International Hurdle and last time out, of course, the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton Park. Dan Skelton's horse is very, very high class on his day and should be too good for these rivals.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.